Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Welcome to Warn Radio. Sound the shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome you to today's show. The Warn Radio Sound the Shofar broadcast features an in-depth biblical study each week. We are not call-in shows. We do not take calls, and any and all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network must be sent through our contact page on warn-usa.com. We do not correspond through social media. We do not correspond through comments and stuff that, whatever. If you have a serious something to say, you need to contact us this way. There's no other way. I don't get on a lot of these things. Every once in a while, I will make a comment or something, but we just don't. Don't do it. Facebook, you can, Facebook actually, and Twitter is WatchmanIS216, Instagram, Warn Radio, Twitter is also Warn Radio, LinkedIn is Watchman. If you're looking for those, that's where to find us. We are also on a number of other social media. You'll have to figure that out. This radio show, as you heard, is part of the WIBR Warn Radio Network, and we have these on several partners places where they're streamed out of it. You can go over to warn-usa.com, and you can find our little app there that has some shows on it, and right below it, a bunch of links. Now, our Warn Radio site, you can listen to all the shows and a lot more. We have a lot of articles and things like that. Some of the recent ones, Offended, The World and the Faith of Christ, and another one, Kingdom's Call of the Light in Christ Jesus. So check these out over on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Today we're talking about blood atonement sanctifies. The blood, when we talk about blood guilt and the blood, it's not just about judgment. It's not just about, the shedding of blood per se and result, as a result of murder. But we're going to talk today about the atoning sacrifice through the blood, which is very much part of the blood guilt because it is we'll get into that. I don't want to get into that now. So at any rate, what's happening in the world? Well, I took a peruse through our regular feed that we have of all the news. I can say there is so much junk on there. It's just unbelievable. I mean, for days now, they've had some stupid picture of Clinton in a dress. It's not Clinton in a dress. It's some woman in a blue dress with his head stuck on it. I mean, how stupid. Give me a break. And then, of course, all over the pages, you have the squad all over there griping and moaning and bitching about America and about conservatives and about Israel. That's all they do. And frankly, we have enemies in this country, enemies of the original America that I grew up to. And, if we're going to keep this country, we need to fight for it. That's all there is to it, because there's people who are planning on destroying it. And when you look around in the world today, as far as persecuted Christians, Many of those persecuted Christians live in countries whose governments are at an enmity with Christianity and the Christian population in general. And one of the biggest things that's happened, I think, over the last 10 years, 15 years, has Turkey turned around, where Christians and even the pastors from America used to be able to go over there and minister to the people, and it was quite open. Now, because of Erdogan and his push for the caliphate, Christianity is getting snuffed out. Many of the leaders that were here in America that were over there preaching, and there was others that were there. Well, see, they've got a law over there that these guys can't teach themselves, you know, so they depended on someone else. So for years and years, there was no one, there was really no true native leaders there. And, you know, they're going to have to rise to the top. The Lord will make a way for them. He did in China when Mao came in. And even as Xi is trying to do a Mao double take and stop Christianity in China, well, you know, the church is not going to be snuffed out. And all of these nations of Gentiles, and they're all Gentiles. There's two groups. There's Jews and Gentiles. And there's one group that had the promise go through it, and that was Isaac. And it wasn't Ishmael. So get over it, Muslims. A lot of your brethren have come to the Lord and know the true Messiah. But this thing is not going to end well for the world. This thing is not going to end well for wickedness. And I seen one article today. It was in Christianity, I think, today. Christianity Today. I skimmed it over. It was by a pastor who was talking about how in the modern world today, people ignore hell. That's true. They do. And, you know, the joke on the world and the joke on, and it's not a very good joke, on people who don't believe in hell or believe in God, the joke is, you will. You know, I mean, you know, that's the way it is. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's also said there is no hell. So we've got a lot of fools in this old world. They don't want to listen. And of course, by the world's wisdom, you're not going to know God, for he must be spiritually discerned. The love of the world is an enmity with God, against God. So this is where we're at. And even today, you know, Christian, you're going to have to stand up. That's the bottom line. Now we're talking about the atonement this week. Blood atonement sanctifies. And let's look at Hebrews. And Hebrews is really good for a lot of this stuff. And, you know, when we get into blood guilt, and this is an extensive study. I've been studying on this for years and years and years and years. And I've done this every year or every 2 years. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to a general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, this is where you need to pay attention. He speaks. You know, God spake on earth, the Lord, at Sinai, and he scared the daylights out of the children of Israel, and even Moses could feel that power coming through. And so we find this a trembling before that revelation on Sinai. And, of course, after that came the covenant. which Israel, of course, broke and then went into captivity. We're talking about that. We're in Isaiah on Thursday. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for God commanded all men everywhere to repent. God chose that through the blood atonement would be made. And of course, in the sacrifices, there is blood atonement, and there, in the feasts and various celebrations, there's the Day of Atonement, a very serious day. It's the only day that God designated actually to be, that has a designated fast with it, is the Day of Atonement. And of course, that follows the Day of Trumpets, and there's 10 days in there that we call that a holy time where people prepare themselves and have self-examination before they come to the Day of Atonement. Yahshua, Jesus, fulfilled the Day of Atonement, whose voice then shook the earth. That's on Sinai, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake the earth only, not I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And that's really what this is about. And even coming to the end of days, God has shaken all things, including churches, including nations and governments and peoples. Wherefore, we, because of all this, that's what the wherefore is there, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. And see, that's the importance. There's a kingdom coming in, Yeshua's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom. And those who enter into that kingdom have to be perfect. And there's only one way, through Christ, who died on the cross. That's the atoning sacrifice that he made. And it's through his blood that was shed that we have that. And by your faith in God's work, it's like unto Abraham, for he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So when we believe in the work of Christ and in him, it's imputed unto us for righteousness' sake. Then there's a regeneration through the Spirit of God. For Christ himself said in John 1, well, let's do it this way. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And then in John 3, it says we must be born again of the Spirit. And of course, John 10 says that we must walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is through that atoning sacrifice and the blood, he was innocent, but yet he took on the sins of the world. And Paul explains it really good. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And right after that, it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And of course, he's talking about the sacrifices, the various sacrifices. And of course, those things that followed Israel, even into the time when Jesus showed up, there was a lot of, traditions of men that had replaced the word of God. And even the Lord said so, by the traditions of men, you've made the word of God of none effect. And we have the same thing today. So we're not to be carried about with all these strange and weird doctrines. We're not to be looking for other gods, other saviors. There is one already who has given us this, the great and mighty and most revered God, even our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has sent his only begotten Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. He was dead and buried. He was in the ground for 3 days, 3 nights, was resurrected from the dead, and seen alive by many infallible proofs. He left instructions for the church and ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives, to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he will return again. He's coming again as a greater son of David. He will set up his throne, for it is his throne. And his kingdom shall be everlasting. So it goes on to say, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. See, the thing of it is that, and he goes on to explain it, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, because without the gate, that's where all the uncleanliness, he became sin. That's why he was outside the gate. And so it's through his own blood that he was able to do it. And we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. In other words, the old covenant is not going to give them the right. And any other savior, any other method is not going to give you the right either. There's only one, and that's through Jesus. He was sanctified. He sanctified the people with his own blood. And that's why we bring this up when we're talking about blood atonement, when we're talking about blood guilt. You know, for the guilt upon mankind was definitely there for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, the scripture says. And it also says that the soul that sins, it shall die. So if all people have sinned to come short of the glory of God, then all people are going to die. Now see, that's exactly why we live, we breathe, we have a life, and then we die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's a result of the fall of man. And so Christ came to the cross to die, to take up the mantle, to lay down his life, to give his blood, which as a sinless lamb, that's why John called him the Lamb of God, which took away the sins of the world, or takes away the sins of the world. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, because he was outside the camp. We receive him. We believe on him. We know that he died on the cross on Golgotha, the place of the skull. For there we have no continuing city. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's our hope. For as Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all creatures most miserable. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I can't stress that enough. In this world, which is so full of emotional roller coasters, that is, you know, we're always, you know, we have murders in America. And we have a lot of young people that have been raised for generations now in an atheistic multi-God world where there is no savior, there is no such thing as heaven and hell. And that's pretty much the result of a lot of liberalism that crept into the schools. And we taught our kids that you could do anything you wanted. You could have any kind of sin, live any kind of lifestyle, and it's okay. It's not okay. And so we really lost. We do not have that saltiness anymore. We don't have people standing up telling America it's unclean to do these things. We stopped really doing that decades ago. And people don't listen. But we did have. At one time we had the salt that stood up again and again to tell us. They were evangelists. They were huge pastors. I mean, pastors of huge congregations. They were well known, and they stood against sin. They declared, thus saith the Lord. No more. Very few of them. Now it's all user-friendly. So here we have no continuing city, but we have one to come, and we need to be thankful and give praise unto our God. But to do good and to communicate, forget not for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they must give account. And that's all pastors, leaders in churches will give account, and even your city officials, all politicians, anybody that controls nations, anybody that has responsibility over anybody will answer to the Lord of Shabaoth, as they must give account, for that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I love a lot of these notes here because it gets personal in here. Because in the midst of teaching, it says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And, of course, he was in the Roman Empire, and living honestly may not always have worked. Now, let's look at Isaiah 53. Now, we're in Isaiah 10, and we're, I think, in part 14 we did this week. It'll be a lot of parts because Isaiah is a big book. But at any rate, when you look at Isaiah in the first 10 chapters, we find judgment, and we also see a few prophecies regarding the coming Messiah, things that are pertinent to today. But see, some of the best stuff we have as far as Christians and hope and prophecies and the Word of God comes out of Isaiah. And Isaiah is one book that is absolutely amazing. We're going to read 12 verses of Isaiah 53. And if you're a Christian, we do have a problem here. In my generation, this kind of stuff was read all the time. In a lot of the modern churches, there's some, they don't even consider the Old Testament at all. And, I don't know if they're still like that, but the Church of Christ used to be one of them that did that. They'd never get into the Old Testament. But there are others that never get into it, don't think about it, don't read it. But I believe in the whole Word of God, so I teach both from the Old and the New. And in the Old, I relate it to the New, and I find it in the New Testament. I relate it to the believers today. So verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's very easy. It's revealed to all men. However, all men won't receive him. Only on those who have believed upon him, for God calls upon us to believe. For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that God is. If we can't believe that he is, there's no way you can go to him. How can you go to something or someone if you don't believe they're there? The early explorers, when they explored the earth, came across certain things. They didn't know it there, but they explored it. They went in. They looked for it. They searched for things. They were out there looking for new things, and they found them. And see, Christ came in fulfillment of these scriptures. But you have to believe. You have to look. You have to see. And he testified. Now, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, he shall grow up before him, meaning the Lord, as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, this is an interesting scripture, because when we read this scripture, you know, today it's all about beauty and all about everybody noticing you. And there's also a lot of, you know, the big thing is selfies. It's been going on for probably a decade or more. We are a self-centered group of people. Our nations are full of self-centered people who get on the internet, which is self-centered. It's amoral. It doesn't care what you do. It doesn't care what you say, because it's amoral. It's not immoral. It's not moral. It's amoral. Just like script and robots and digital things, they're all programmed by men. And the sin is in men. So they're the ones that program this stuff. And so if there's any fault in the computers or the robots, it's because of an infallible person, a human, created them. And while we try, there will never be a robot that is perfect, because they are created by a sinful being. And that's something to think about next time you want robots to be roaming around, taking all your jobs and working. Because these robots, I can guarantee you, will turn on you. It's not like you're being told at all. It's hell on earth is what it is. And of course, this is just like Satan to replace man with robots. Because God made man in his own image. Well, guess what? A robot isn't in the image of God. It's in the image of technology. Technology is man. Well, at any rate, let's go. For he shall grow before him as a tender plant before the Lord, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, Yahshua, Jesus, was not one of those great-looking, beautiful men. Now, I remember the first time I seen a Jesus movie, and the person playing Jesus was good-looking, long hair, white guy. You know, and I remember one that had blue eyes. I mean, you know, and so this is just like the media does it. You know, we'll make him beautiful, really good-looking, and you know, all this. No, that's opposite of Scripture. You weren't attracted to him because he was good looking. You were attracted to him because of the message, the Spirit of God drove you, and the miracles. You saw the miracles. See, this is who he was. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was the suffering servant. That's what this represents. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteem him not. We hid our faces when he was smitten. Like it says, when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep scatter. And that's exactly what happened, for he is the great shepherd. He says that in John 10. And so we have this. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him. That's the rest of us. We received him. I mean, you need to be excited about this. I mean, this is written by Isaiah. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. See, the thing of it is, we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We know what happened to him. We know why it happened to him. And it tells you the next verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now that's Isaiah 53 and verse 5 saying, we are healed. Now you're healed of your sins, your transgressions, and you're healed of all the things. You haven't become God yet, but you're headed there. You have a race to run. You have to keep your faith and never give up. And you're going to be tried. You're going to be tested to see if you're worthy. You have to get through to the end. And while receiving Christ costs nothing, it also costs you everything. And I could go through that. Because Tower and I started out back in 1973. We were in Bible school before, when was it, 78? I was a youth pastor in 81. Now a little after 81, somewhere in there. It's been a long road. You raise kids, you have problems, you fight things. I mean, it is a path. And as you walk it, you develop that hope in Christ because you see the fickleness of the world. Now, while the world is fickle and while men may be full of sin, I can tell you directly that the world has beautiful places because God's hand of creation is on this earth. And there's also human beings, men, women, who do beautiful things. We have people that have talents God gave them naturally, and they can do beautiful things. And many times, the ones that have so much talent don't even acknowledge God, or they follow a false god. But see, Peter talks about by his stripes we are healed, past tense. So we're healed not only of our transgressions and of our iniquities, but you're healed. The atonement is tied with the healing of your body. And so while there's a lot of people who will, you know, they're sick and they die and stuff like that, you know, God did die. Christ did die so that you might be healed. And we see the apostles, even the ministry of the Lord, connected very closely healing and the atonement. It's directly related. And even James ties it in with the prayer of faith. And then if that prayer of faith, if they're healed, then their sins are forgiven. I mean, you cannot separate it as many Gentile Christians have done. The fact that Christ heals. Now, he can heal in a lot of ways. One of the ways he heals directly is in the beginning when God created everything, he told man, I've given you herbs and plants to eat. It was only after the fall that he gave them meat. And then, of course, at Sinai, he gave them a directive as to what to eat in the kosher eating, as it's called today. But you have a lot of plants for herbs, a lot of plants for healings, a lot of food. And I'm a firm believer, absolutely, and I can give you evidence of that. That if you were eating the proper biblical way, that you would find more health, more healing than you've ever known. Unfortunately, we do live in a society that eats a lot of animals. Now, I'm not anti-animal, but, you know, there are things that you need to understand what God gave you. And there is a place, and I guarantee you that, you know, there is something called the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's a supper. It's where you eat. There's, you know, even in the Garden of Eden, they could eat, literally eat of the garden, except for the tree of good and evil. And this is, I could do a whole study on this. The fact that God created foods to heal man. And in our original state, all the food that Adam and Eve ate was 100% consumed by your body and your cells. There was nothing left. There was none of this going to the bathroom. You never sweat. you know, you were a perfect, complete human being, and you were eating foods that God gave you to keep you alive. And although we are in the fall, and there's curses that's been put upon the earth, and even Isaiah said the curse has devoured the earth, there are still ways that you can eat, if you're careful, and find good organic foods that haven't been tainted. There's ways to find food that will heal you. Absolutely. And there's a lot of scientific evidence that absolutely fulfills that. So there's a lot of ways that God can heal you, a lot of ways that he will give us blessing too. But the bottom line of it is that in verse 6, which follows this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so this healing, while it's physical, it is very much atoning, because we have gone astray, and the iniquity of all humans, everyone that's ever been born, was laid upon Christ on that cross, because he's the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1. And there was not anything made that was not made by him. This is our hope. And so this is why we're covering this, because he was innocent. He was perfect. He was the Lamb that had no blemishes. He was the Son of God who came. And he had the Spirit of his Father in him. And he brought the message. And he suffered and he died for our sins and was resurrected from the dead. And he became the first fruits. Do you know who the second fruits was? Biblically, the one that we know that is the second one is Stephen. He was the first martyr. And then James, he was martyred. We can find that in, I think that's the proper order. Stephen was the first one. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Again, this is the suffering servant, but also he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now see, when he was being slaughtered, when he was on that cross, there's very few words that he said. You know, to the thieves on the cross, the one, of course, dissed Christ, and the other said, "Remember me when you go into your kingdom," which illustrated his faith. He's hanging on the cross, and the Lord said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he said to John, who was there with his mother, said, "Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And he looked at John and Mary as they were beneath the cross, because he was ascending to his Father. So John took Mary and took care of her. And then, of course, he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And God, the Father, could not look on sin. He doesn't. He can't behold sin. So he turned his face for a moment. And in that word, he said, "It is finished." And that's another study that I could do. I've talked about it quite often. Because when we talk about it being finished, you find the phrase similar to that in Revelation as well. So he's talking about the work that he came to do was finished and it was completed. He triumphed openly over the devil and over all principalities and powers. And by the time you get in Revelation and it says it's finished, that means the end of everything that was to be brought. And the kingdom of Christ is now in and everything has been defeated and thrown down. And that's what's going to happen, because Christ is the greater son of David. David was a warrior king. And Christ, when he comes, now see, the first time he came as the suffering servant. He came as the lamb who came to die for the sins of the world. He ain't coming to die again, folks. He's coming again as the warrior king. And he's going to put down every enemy of God. And he'll grind them into the earth. And he'll destroy the devil. Make no mistake. Christ is Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty. He is the King. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he was taken from prison. He was in prison. He was beaten. Who shall declare his generation? His generation was cut off. Well, in his day, the apostles declared his generation. And see, every generation has to have the gospel declared to it. And that's the responsibility of the followers of Christ, to declare the generation of Jesus Christ to all men everywhere, even if they kill us for it. Because that's our job. That's what we do. We are to declare his generation. Verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was perfect. He was the sacrifice. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so all of this is very much true. He was... His soul was, you know, his body, his blood, he became an offering for sin. He's the first fruits, but yet he shall see his seed, Isaiah says. Indeed he did, and he will, because he resurrected from the dead. And there was his seed. But see, this seed is not only those that were alive, but especially those who die and are resurrected from the dead because they believe in him. That's the power that God gave him. And he shall prolong his days. He's going to live forever. His kingdom is going to be forever. And the pleasure of the Lord, the Father, takes pleasure in his Son, has given all things into his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their sins. He's talking to the Father. The Father saw what his Son did, was satisfied completely with the atoning sacrifice and everything he did. And thus he became the atonement. He triumphed openly over all principalities and powers. He redeemed us unto God our Father. We go to the Lord and we believe on him. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors because of Christ. And as I've said many times, there's no reason why anybody should go to hell. No reason at all. Now, John 3:16, everybody remembers, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so it is on this day that we can look to the Lord. Thank God he made intercession for the transgressors. Now in Acts, we go on, it says, Acts 3:11-21. And as the lame man, which was healed by Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You can't deny a miracle when it happens. Of course, all the unbelieving Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, everybody, they wanted to, you know, try to deny it. You can't deny a miracle. And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why you marvel at this, or why you look earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let go. Now, that's very important because Pilate washed his hands of this man's blood. And he says, you know, I find no fault in him. He told the crowd that twice. So the crowd said, his blood be on us. Now, see, that's blood guilt. See, he's innocent. He was shed. The blood was shed. And that is the innocent blood. And so there's blood guilt. And so within this confines of that, and Christ even said that when he wept over Jerusalem, that the blood would be required of this generation. It was at that time, you know, it was a number of years after Christ had ascended to the Father. It was when Titus went into Jerusalem, and they killed 1 million Jews at that time, according to Josephus. And so they denied, and they wanted to murder and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now see, Peter's going through some of the recent events, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Now see, here we have him going through the atonement in the same place. He's talking about healing, and this is what I'm talking about the atonement and the healing so close together. But it all takes faith. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did this, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So it's evident that this message goes to all people. But even in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him would not perish but have eternal life. Many people know that. Many, even unbelievers, people that don't even know the Lord, even know that. John 3:16, that's been in America for as long as you can shake a stick, so to speak. But in the same context, you follow it on down. The Lord says that they won't come to the light because they love darkness more. And so this is the real issue, that they love darkness more. They love their deeds of darkness. They're not going to come to the Lord. And so it gets in this to where, as I said before, there's no reason for anybody to go to hell. Because in this, Christ died. Unfortunately, a lot of them won't come for that very reason. And when we follow Paul in Acts 17, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also one of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art or man's device. And the times of this God ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men that he has raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Now, of course, one of the greatest things this was Mars Hill in Athens, a pagan empire. It was also a religious empire. They had a lot of various kinds of faith and understanding, I mean, in various gods and goddesses. If you look at the Greeks and all their things, it's an interesting history of the Greeks. You have Zeus and all the others. Nevertheless, Paul is talking to them, trying to relate to them. And this is really, really good that he stood talking to them. These were scholars. These were people that were interested as well in all things new, in science and various things, philosophies. You know, this kind of thing is where Socrates and Aristotle came out of. They were the more well-known ones. But you see, in the midst of all this, you know, human understanding increases. But even through human understanding, you can't always find the truth. The truth has to be related to you through the Spirit of God, that pull of God on your heart, and in order to really understand. And, of course, the Word has to be planted. The Word is the seed of God. There's a lot of issues here. But the bottom line of it is that when we talk about the blood guilt, when we talk about all this, Christ was that innocent blood that was shed. And it was in Luke 11:49, it says here, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall they shall slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And then he goes into the woes upon the lawyers. And what we're talking about, Luke 13:34, these are important here. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily, I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, the one I was talking about before, Matthew 27:24-25, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, but rather tumult was made, he took over and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Now that's blood guilt. And they willingly accepted it, and they did. Now, see, even Judas in Matthew 27:4, this is what he admitted to. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. He threw the pieces down. But see, Judas betrayed innocent blood. We have two witnesses here, Judas, and we have Pilate. And the people makes the third one. So there's three witnesses according to the word of God. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses. So we have this, you know, and this is why the atonement and the death of Christ and the resurrection, all of this is in this study on blood guilt. Is very important. And so when we talk about blood guilt, when we talk about how this thing works, it's something that you need to understand, something that God will hold all nations accountable for. And, he will hold them accountable. But also remember that through Christ, there is forgiveness. But that doesn't stop the penalty that comes with blood guiltiness. So at any rate, thank God Christ did come. Thank God we do have hope. Now, another thing of it is, remember, this is a study. We do not take calls. Any serious questions that you have must be sent to us through email. Email from our website. Go to our website at warn-usa.com. And you can send it. And if it's a serious question, then we will take a look at it. I will. And I'll send you an answer back. Or I may answer it on the program. But the bottom line of it is that any of our shows is not a call-in show. Now, I know Blog Talk allows for that. I could care less. This is just one avenue of many. Because the call-in, we're on a lot of different places when they hear this. And they're not going to call in because they can't. But everybody can go to the website, and that's where people go. That's where they go and contact us from. So remember, there's a lot of articles, shows, and everything else. Facebook, social media, I do not answer over those either, very little. And that's just the way it is. And so at any rate, it is a weekend. I hope you have a good weekend. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. And as we close out this, I thank God for the redeeming aspect. We have hope today. And although this world is really upset, God is on the throne. Christ is coming again. So in all of that, I'm going to get out of here. Shalom, everybody. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.